Notice what it says here in Daniel chapter 5, verse 1 with me. And notice what it says here in verse 1. Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. So we'll stop right there here. So we here in Daniel chapter 5 were greeted with this man, Belshazzar. And we can say sometimes it can be one of the saddest chapters here in this book of Daniel here. So we're given here an opportunity here to examine, you know, Belshazzar. Notice just a couple things here about this man here this morning. Number one here, notice here, you know, this man, Belshazzar, he had great wealth, and then also he had immense power. Think about being a king, you can pretty much do anything you want, right? If, you know, if I want some cheeseburgers, I can, you know, somebody's going to go get me some cheeseburgers. If somebody, you know, Brother Gene, ham sandwiches, you know, somebody can go get me a ham sandwich, right? And so he had immense power. But notice, we're going to notice a little bit later in our chapter here, yet his soul was so poverty stricken as if he was a beggar. And we're going to notice here because, think about it, he was a man that didn't trust God. But notice another thing here. He was a man. Yes, he is a great ruler of a vast kingdom, right? Remember, he was a man that ultimately he was unable to rule his own heart. We're going to notice here as we just a couple introductory thoughts here right before we journey through these passages here this morning here. But not only that, he was a man who commanded fear from subjects, from people, other bow down before him. Yet, sadly, we're going to notice here he had no fear of God. No fear of God. I want to be a person that goes all out for God. Think about our Sunday school lesson. Think about it. I want to yield every member. I want to yield every thought to God. Because ultimately, he is in control of every situation. But notice as we keep journeying down here, as we take a look about this man, Belshazzar. Think about it, he even walked among the wisest of people during that day. Imagine, you know, walking with, you know, the richest and the best people of the day. Yet he was a man who was ruled with ignorance in his life, in the very things of his life. And so we see here, Daniel chapter 5 gives us a glimpse of what this man, Belshazzar, is. But the thing is, as we go journey back to verse 1, notice what he is doing. He is living it up. He's partying. Notice it says here, verse 1, Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the thousands here. So in the midst of all this, they're throwing a wild, crazy party of 1,000 of his lords. And think about, we can consider Belshazzar just like sometimes a lot of people like our day today. No, they live life. They party. They play. They live in the good times. You know, when, you know, something happens to me, I need to give it to God, or, you know, I need to, you know, come to church. But then after that's resolved, I can play and do whatever I want. But we see here, Belshazzar here will realize that all the fun and all the games and all the play will eventually come to an end. And a sad, sad reality with the Bible. So thankful that we have the truth this morning, right? So thankful we have the truth. And all throughout the Bible, so thankful that we have an opportunity. Think about it, we have a free will choice. Yes, you know, I can accept him, or I can, and think about it, I can trust God that, you know, and he will supply all my needs, and think about all the promises. I have a free will choice to do whatever. But I'm so thankful that God has given us a free will choice to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Isn't that just amazing? Just the fathom that he loved me that much, that he sent his most precious son down from heaven, you know, to walk on this earth, to go and die and was buried and he was resurrected. And so ascended right and sitting on the right-hand throne of God for me and for you. Shouldn't that encourage us as a Christian to keep plugging on? Shouldn't that encourage us to keep being our theme? Come and see the church that God wants us to be. Should that be just a drive? I'm going to keep plugging. I'm going to keep going no matter what. Sometimes think about sin or sometimes what hindrance may come upon my life. I'm going to just keep going all out for Christ. Think about the Apostle Paul. I love to study on Sunday nights. about through the book of Acts. This man was, he was a plugger. He didn't give up for the slightest of chances, but he kept going. Can that be said of us here this morning? Or can it be said of us that something comes in and we just easily swayed? Let us not be like a Belshazzar here this morning. Think about in this passage, never stopped and asked, what's going to happen when all this stuff is done? Anyway, it says here in verse 2, Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels with his father's Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, and the king and his princes and his wives and his concubines might drink thereof. Think about all that sin here. There's this messing with sin. And think about it here. We see here, you know, Belshazzar here, yes, you know, Nebuchadnezzar wasn't his biological father, but it was in a sense of a kind of like a biblical sense of what, think about how David is called the father of Jesus here, but it's like a father on the throne here. But notice what it says here, you know, it says in verse 2 that they drank wine and then also that the king and his princes and his wives and concubines might drink therein. All this stuff is happening here. You know, they're living it up for their lives. They're forgetting the one and true God. You think about it here, during this time here, think about these very, you know, you want to even take a look here about these city walls and how tall they were and how comfortable he got. And that's why all these thousand lords and all these things that was happening here, he was living it up for himself. But can I encourage you here this morning here to notice our first point here this morning here. And as we take a look here, as we journey through a couple more verses here, the tragedy of a wasted life. Wasted life. Think about God has given us a life to live. Yes, not to do what we please with or not to do what, you know, I'm going to come to this, I'm not going to do this, and, you know, God, I'm going to do this. But no, we should be totally yielded, totally surrendered to what God wants us to be and to do. Notice as we keep reading here, verse 3 here. Then they brought the golden vessels, were taken out of the temple of the house of God. Notice, oh, this it's crazy here. Just to fathom all this here, it says this, take them out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. And the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines drank them. Notice that repetition. It says here, verse 4, they drank wine and praised the gods. Notice the little g gods, because it's not talking the one true God. But it says they praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone here. Woo! It was crazy. It was chaotic. No, it was a night of drunkenness. It was a night that just total evil here. It was a night, you know, think about, oh, it's a sad. Think about all the drugs and alcohol, all the fleshly desires that sometimes we even face, and addictions were all there as a temporary just fix here, just for the moment. They were living just for a moment. But the thing is, the Bible talks a lot about this stuff here. Can I encourage you to hold your thought here? Turn with me to the book of Proverbs here. Can I encourage you to just turn back here with me to the book of Proverbs here? And we'll just notice a couple portions of scripture here. Proverbs chapter 20. Maybe we know this verse already. But it says here in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever deceived thereby is not wise. But notice with me, you know, turn with me a couple chapters later here in Proverbs chapter 23. Can I encourage you to turn there very quickly here in Proverbs chapter 23 and notice what it says here in verse 29. In Proverbs chapter 23, notice what it says here in 29. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babblings? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? That they tarry long at the wine? That they go to seek mixed wine? Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thy eyes shall behold strange women, and thy heart shall utter perverse things. We know what, when you drink too much of this strong drink, it causes you to do crazy things that you never think you will ever do. But it says this here, verse 34, yeah, that shall be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shall thou say, and I was not sick, and have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. Yet again. Think about it. You know, that's why we should never even be tempted with just a little bit, right? We should never be tempted with sin. Just, you know, I'm going to just do a little bit of this. If I do a little bit, I'm going to be fine. I'm going to meet the quota. I'm going to meet everything. But the thing is, once we leave that little part in, think about it, we have an adversary that knocks on our door constantly. He wants you to do those crazy things. He wants you to get away from the word. He wants you to get away from reading God's word, praying, seeking him, following the Lord into what the Lord has for you. He wants you to get away from all that. But if we leave that little inch of sin in, think about it. Devil's going to keep prying. He's going to keep trying to open in it. He's going to keep trying to attack. And so that's why we should never try our best to, if there's any sin, to give it to God. Ask God for forgiveness and ask him for help. But notice as we go back to Daniel chapter 5 here, so we see all these bottles, all these alcohol, all these drugs here, and this is just for a temporary fix here. But as we see here, amen. Verse 3 here, notice what they do with the house of God here. It says this, that they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. And the king and his princes and his wives and his concubines drank in them. Notice what Belshazzar is trying to do. He's tempting this show. That the support, think about these gods that he has here that they're trying to worship here by ridiculing the very God of the Hebrew, the very God that ultimately the one true living God. And as if Belshazzar think God, you know, the one true God is nothing at all. He's worshiping these golden images here. It says here in verse 4, they drink wine and praise the gods of gold. I'm so thankful that we only serve one living God. He's risen. He's resurrected. He loves us. He's sitting on the right-hand throne of God. But all these little gods here, they're in the grave. But it says this, God of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. Have you ever been blind before? I remember many times in the youth group, you know, they put a blindfold over you. Oh, boy, watch out, right? I remember one time we were blindfolded doing a youth activity here. We was at our winter retreat, and they put a blindfold on you. So you're trying to grab, and you're in a, like, for example, in a gym, and they put two inner tubes in the middle of the gym, and they blindfold you, and you're trying to grab it here. And so you're trying to listen to everybody else in the background, but what happens sometimes? You're trying to listen to this person. You're trying to listen. Oh, go left, go right, go left, go right, go left, go right, you know. And the next you know, you're like, what am I doing? And then you're trying to like look at the next joke, maybe somebody got it or whatever. But can you imagine how blind Belshazzar was? Think about it, he had the opportunity to know God. Just as much as we have the opportunity to know God too. Think about think about even Nebuchadnezzar here. But it's just crazy to think about how he knew, yes, the things of the Lord, and also he knew what God could have done. He knows what if he would just simply place God, you know, ultimately number one in his life, what could have been done. But notice, journey with me here, down to a couple verses here. Notice what Belshazzar was. It says here in verse 22, and thou his son, O Belshazzar, has not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this. Is it sad that even if you know the truth, he still refused to believe it? Think about it. We have the Bible here. It's truth, right? From the very book of Genesis chapter 1 through all the way through Revelation chapter 22, right? Truth. The thing is, as a Christian, as we read, as we study, as we hear the sermons, as we're living life, we are being infiltrated with the truth. And then when we do something that is not the truth, and maybe we even know, you know, think about it. You know, yes, you know, it doesn't come out and say, thou shalt not smoke, thou shalt not go, you know, whatever it may be. But there is biblical principles that can encourage our hearts, our families. Think about the chaos that we live in this world today. It's chaotic. I can't imagine the generation of Travis. I can't imagine the generation of the younger ones. You know, I remember even many times, you know, I remember when I was in high school and when my big brother in the big brother program, Gary, and I remember many times, man, I never thought all this stuff would happen. I never thought all these things and would ever happen in my lifetime. But I feel bad for your generation to have to endure through all that. It's sad. Man, it's like you just want to, you know, keep little man beside me all the time, right? But the thing is, we have to do our part, right? To, as we take in the truth, maybe many of us, we trust in Christ as Savior. We are, you know, we read the Bible every day. We pray every day. You know, we know, of course, not doing the motion, right? We're seeking God. We're trying to, you know, give God our best here. But it's so important that we stress to teach in the next generation and the next person. Think about our family to be, think about founded on what? The solid rock, which is Jesus Christ. But we see here, even through Belshazzar, he heard of God. He even knew some things about God. He ignored the very clear word of God. Say, you know what? I'd rather do this. But the thing is, we know throughout the Bible, there's judgment, right? Sometimes we know Satan comes in. He tempts us with sin. Sometimes when things come in, we get tempted with it. But the thing is, we are never tempted with the consequences, right? Think about it, you know, for example, that sin comes in. Ooh, you may lose this. We probably, put that back here. You know, think about it. Sometimes those shoplifters, they go to Walmart, they steal something, and the next you know they got caught, then maybe they go to jail, or the next you know they're trespassed from going into all the Walmarts in the whole world. Imagine not being able to go to Walmart. Be able to get your needs, right? Guess you have to go to Wise, right? Wise, Aldi, or another place. Maybe Brother Jean's, you know, he has a good apple cobbler, you know, to be able to pick up and buy. But think about it here. You know, imagine. I cannot imagine at all. But I'm so thankful that God had desired us, and he has given his word. Think about it. I love this book, and I hope you love this book as well. It's his love letter written to you and for me. I'm so thankful here that God sent, think about Jesus for me and for you. But can I encourage you here this morning, don't be a Belshazzar. Don't live a wasted life. Think about it. If some of these things are describing our life, can I encourage you to repent and get right with God and come to Jesus and ask him the forgiveness. I'm so thankful that we have God that's, his arms are always outstretched. I'm so thankful he doesn't, you know, you done that? Nope. So thankful he doesn't do that, right? I'm so thankful he's always come to me. You know, no matter what sin you did, no matter you think about it, you about disaster, you know, if he would have came to God, he would have openly accepted his arms, just as for me and for you as well. Maybe there's sin, even as a Christian, that we have in our hearts. Let's get that out here. I love, think about it here, too. Think about it, especially in our hearts. I love when, you know, we just try our best to get sin out of our hearts. I encourage you, you know, think about when sin is in our hearts. Oh, it hurts. You know it. You feel it. You need to get it out. You need to just get it. Can I encourage you to give it to God this morning here? But notice here, number two here, yes, please don't live a life that is wasted, just like Belshazzar. But notice with me, number two here. Can I encourage you here, the fact here. Notice what it says here in verse 5 here. Can I encourage you to go, Daniel chapter 5, verse 5. It says this, in the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Whew. This is good. Watch this, right? Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him. What happened to all-out partying? What happened to living his life? What happened to doing absolutely absurd other than not the will of God? And the next, you know, his countenance changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins, oh, can you imagine seeing this? The joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. Can you just imagine seeing that? Just amazing. But let's keep reading. It says here in verse 7, but we know here, through this time here, he was living it up. Countenance changed. He was to a point where things were changing. He was terrified. Have you ever been terrified of somebody finding out maybe what your besetting sin is? Have you ever been terrified of knowing somebody, knowing something about you that you just don't want other people to know about? Have you ever been terrified? Oh, I know I shouldn't be here. I know I shouldn't be doing this, but you know what? I'm still doing it. And I hope nobody at church sees me here. I hope nobody drives by and see me. Oh, I think we shouldn't be me at that place. But think about it, he's to a point where he is terrified. Notice as we keep reading verse 7 here, the king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers. Think about, forget God, he's trying to bring all these astrologers and all these things here. Notice what it says here. The king cried out aloud to bring in the astrologers, Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And the king spake unto said to the wise men of Babylon, whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold around his neck. Be nice to have, right? But notice what it says here, and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Notice verse 8. Then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing, nor made known of the king's interpretation thereof. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were a stone. Notice a couple more verses. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the kings and his lord, came into the banquet house, and the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom. Remember Daniel, right? The one that interpreted the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. It says this here. There is a man in thy kingdom in whom the spirit of the holy gods and the day of thy father, light and understanding wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, who the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say thy father, made master of the musicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers, for as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge, understanding, interpreting of dreams, and showing hard sentences, and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. Think about it. Just amazing here. Just amazing. He was shaken to the very core. When the last time we were shaken to the core? Think about it. We live in a day and age which we know God is coming, right? We always say, and you know what? We can't wait. Jesus is coming soon, right? Praise the Lord for that. So thankful that Jesus saves. I'm so thankful that the Lord can come back right now. The Lord can come back tomorrow. The Lord can come back any time, any moment, any day, right? And we're so thankful for it. But the thing is, are we living like we're ready? Are we living like we're actually ready to go to heaven? Are we making sure that my heart is right with God? Are we making sure that I'm doing the things of God? Am I making sure that I'm trying my best to yield my whole body and life to God completely? Am I fully surrendered? Am I fully surrendered? But notice as we see here, Daniel is going to be able to be interpreting this dream here. And can you imagine how Daniel will come and just amazing. But as we see here, you know, this very wrath of God here, that's going to happen. But I'm so thankful to know even about the fact of the wrath of God that we have a God that is a God of love, right? No, we have a God that is God of love. I'm going to hold that thought here. Daniel chapter 5, can I encourage you to turn with me to the book of 1 John here. And I'm so thankful 1 John is written to the Christians here. But it says here in the book of 1 John chapter 4, can I encourage you to turn there here? 1 John chapter 4, and just turn there with me here very quickly here. A couple of verses here. Notice what it says here, starting in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another." Excuse me. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was the manifested, the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. I encourage you to thank God today that God says who he is. I'm so thankful today that God is a God of love. God is a God of mercy. God's a God of grace. We don't deserve any of that, but God still gives us chance after chance after chance after chance. And sometimes it seems like but I'm so thankful that God gives us these chances to get right with him, to even work, even things out for God. But never think that God wouldn't, never think that God won't judge sin, and he for surely will. We're going to see here the very judgment here in this very, couple portions of scripture here right before we wrap up here. But God's wrath, think about the very focus of this wrath here, is on sin and rebellion. Think about this characterized Balthazar. He crossed the line, and now he has to face the very wrath of God. Think about, we know that God hates sin. We know what sin is, right? Sin is thing we do, say, or think that displeases God. And we know that God hates sin, and he will judge it. And sometimes we don't want the judgment. Sometimes we don't want the consequence of sin. But he will judge it here. But we see here what's going to happen here. And as we jump even a little bit over here, notice what it says here in verse 24 here. Of course, Daniel's going to be able to interpret the dream here and knows what this interpretation here. Belteshazzar is going to be told something. And notice what it says here in verse 24 here. It says this in Daniel chapter 5. Then was the part of the hand sent from him. This and this writing was written. And this is the writing that was written. Meeny, meeny, tickle, hartson. And then we go into verse 26 through all the way to 28 to give the meaning here. It says this, verse 26, and this is the interpretation of the thing, meaning. God had numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tickle, thou art weighted in balances and art found wanting. Verse 28, Perez, the kingdom is divided and given to Medes and Persians. So we know that this writing here, this means numbered, numbered, weighted, and divided. Numbered, numbered, weighted, and divided. And so we see here the judgment is at hand here. He's judging here because of his consequences here. But we see here that this judgment is ultimately, he is going to, think about, spend eternity here in a lost place that none of us wants to go to. But we see here he is eventually is going to die and go to a wicked place called hell. But we see here, in these passages of scripture here, yes, not only number one, can I encourage you here, number one, don't live a wasted life. Number two, can I encourage you here, be careful of the wrath of God. God will not leave sin go unjudged. But the number three here, as we wrap up this morning here, notice this here, terrible death. Terrible death. It says here in verse 29, then commanded Belteshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold around his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler of the kingdom. And then notice what happened in verse 30. Remember, he let his guard down. He was partying. Yes, he was shaken here. But remember, think about these city walls. Think about these outer walls would be, you know, some say it'd be 17 miles long. And these walls would be 22 feet thick and 90 feet high. And these outer walls would even have guard towers just to make sure that it'd see anybody in sight that they can take it as well. And think about it, and these guard towers would be an additional 100 feet above that. And then the city gates would be made of bronze, and then also there's moats to make sure that that, you know, city is safe here. But we see here, the terrible thing happens in verse 30. And that night was Belteshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. Slain. It says in verse 31, and Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Think about Belteshazzar, thought that city was safe. He's living it up, having a great time. Think about it, so many times we can have pleasure for a season, but the thing is, sin is only a pleasure for a season. But while he partied, while he endured his enemies, while he had all this gold, silver, brass, iron, wood, and stone, he forgot that what Darius here was going to make an attack, and ultimately he made a surprise attack in that night, and we see here Belteshazzar died very sudden. Think about it. And the most tragic part about this man's life, that he died horribly, and he went to a wicked place in hell. Sad. Thing is, that's the story of many today. Think about, go to this world today. It's chaotic. They're living for self. They're trusting in their own power to get to heaven, but there's no way. They're trying to work their way to heaven. But I'm so thankful today we can find a way, and that's only through Jesus Christ our Lord. Think about it, says that for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal. That means forever and ever and ever. Eternal life, what? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Can I encourage you here today? Don't live a life that is regretted. I remember many times, especially being in the youth group, telling, you know, hearing people give maybe their testimony, and they said that they regretted a couple of things that they wished that they were never taken a part of. Maybe in some things that they, you know, took a part of, even maybe as a young person, or maybe even as they go throughout, you know, their young, you know, adulthood as well. But they kept that. But the thing is, they tried their hardest to get that away, but it still sticks with them forever and ever and ever and ever. I encourage you here today to not be a Belteshazzar. Don't let that be the story of you here today. Can I encourage you to give your all to God? Can I encourage you, maybe you're here today, you don't know Christ as your Savior. Today, October the 20th, can be the day you trust Him.